as I was putting some of this together, it was very difficult because there is so much there. And I absolutely love the book of Galatians. Galatians has so much in it. And we're going to attempt to cover some of it, a very small piece of it. The title of today's message is, Do You Enjoy Your Freedom? And as you think about that a little bit, I invite you to join me in prayer. Most kind and wonderful Father, Son, and Spirit, God, thank you for your love for the plan that you have that includes us, being with Jesus through the Holy Spirit and ultimately being right there with you, the Father. God, I ask that you would direct the words that are spoken, certainly those that are heard, that each one will receive exactly what you have prepared for them. And God, I thank you for Galatians, the book, what Paul has written under your inspiration. Let us enjoy and drink in of your love. In Christ's name, amen. The title, as I said, is Do You Enjoy Your Freedom? Another thought to that is, do you have freedom in your life? And I debated on which one should actually be the title and the other one follow. Because many will tell they don't have freedom. Many will talk about the bonds of this earth, the level of what they're involved in or under. But yet, here we are today, and the question, the freedom that we have before us. What does freedom mean to you? You know, we hear a lot about the secular world, the freedom of the countries we may live in. Certainly this country, we have a lot of freedoms that much of the world doesn't have. But this goes beyond just the physical freedom. Is freedom in your life an illusion? Do you look at freedom as, I'm not sure it's going to happen in my life. It's an illusion, something that is just there, something that seems unattainable. Freedom from this world, freedom from the enemy, freedom from the stresses that seem to be in our life. The weight of the world is too much, and we can't let go. Freedom is that seemingly very unattainable thing. But as Bob pointed out, here we are in Galatians 5. And that's where we're going to go today. That's where the text comes from. We will hear a few different renditions of the same things. But it is very powerful when we think about it. We're going to start in Galatians 5, verse 1. This is through the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Can I just sit down now and we're done? Because that really does say so much. Christ has set us free. Whether we acknowledge it or whether we own it, whether we say, well, that sounds good. I hope it's true. Don't hope. Know that it is. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't let the enemy, the world, anyone put you back under that burden, that yoke. Do you trust or do you believe that Jesus has made you free? Do you believe that? Do you know that to your inner core that you have been made free because of Jesus? That's part of what we're talking about today. This same verse in the Mirror translation, and that's a relatively new one that it's not even a complete Bible of every book yet, and it's still this thick. But I want to read Galatians 5:1 from the Mirror translation. Christ defines your faith. He is your freedom from anything, anything from which the law could never free you. Find your firm footing in this freedom. That's where you're anchored. Do not let religion trip you up again and harness you to a system of rules and obligations. Every one of us can think and know what that means. We no longer have that burden. Those rules and obligations, Christ changed. It's not part of what we have to do. Think about those words. Christ has set us free to be free men and women, to be free people. We don't have to struggle if we can believe and trust that you truly are free because of Jesus Christ. He has liberated us. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. He alone can do that, and he has. In Christ, we are truly free. That is the gospel. The gospel message is Christ has made us free. Stand firm, never allowing ourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And the enemy would love for us to be under that yoke of slavery, the weight and the controlling thing that puts us under that. We must cease all legalistic religion that seeks to earn God's favor through our own efforts. Doesn't work. Our own efforts are futile. We of ourselves will never be free. If you're relying on yourself to get to that freedom, you'll never get there. Legalism is religious slavery. What a thought to think about. We're going to move to Galatians 5 and verse 13. For you were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. And we will talk a little bit about that as we go through today. But through love, become enslaved to one another. Connect with each other because of the love of Christ that is in us. It's powerful to think about those things that he has provided for us. Again, I want to go to 5:13 and the Mirror Translation for this verse as well. Your redeemed identity defines your freedom, my friends, my family, those I love. But freedom does not mean that you are now free to again to employ the law. On the contrary, your freedom finds its most complete expression in a love that serves one another. As free as you are to the law, so enslaved you are now to love. And in this parenthesis here, to me, I absolutely love what is there. You are at last free to live the life of your original design. Think about that. Think what that picture is. What God created you to be and was hijacked in the garden and has been hijacked for thousands of years. But we are now, because of Jesus, free to live the life of your original design. And none of us really understand and know how deep and wonderful that is. How awesome that original design that was there for each of the human species. So Galatians 5:13 says a great deal to me. We're going to continue on in verses 14 and 15. For the whole law is summed up in a single command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that sounds kind of easy. Some neighbors aren't very loving. That's not in there. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. It's an easy trap to fall into. The entire law is summed up in that single command, love your neighbor as yourself. We have been called to freedom in Christ. Our Christian life began not with our decision to follow Christ, but with God's call to us to do so. None of us found Jesus. None of us, no matter how you set out, found Jesus. He was seeking you first. And we have to realize that is awesome. Jesus wanted me enough to seek and to lay the groundwork for me to recognize him in my life. That's pretty awesome stuff. Christianity is not bondage. It is a call of grace to freedom. You hear the words freedom and love, and that's a core value of today's message. Verse 13, going back, Paul adds a word of caution about the exercise of this freedom. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And that can be a little tricky. As we move on, we'll talk a little bit about that. That sinful nature, the flesh, human nature, is our fallen nature of who we are and how we act, which we inherited from our parents. But it doesn't stop there. You can't blame your parents because your grandparents and your great-grandparents, and it goes on and on. This has been something that has been passed down, that fallen human nature, all the way from the Garden of Eden. But we inherited it, and they inherited it from theirs, and which is twisted with self-centeredness. And it's very easy to fall into that trap of me first. And we hear it all the time on TV shows, on ads, on neighbors talking about that self-centeredness. We must be careful not to use our newfound freedom as an opportunity to indulge in that sinful nature. Paul points that our freedom in Christ can, if we let it, become a pretext to self-indulgence. Christian freedom is to serve one another in love. It is freedom to approach God without fear. Can you honestly say that you can go to the throne of God in prayer, in discussion, and you can talk to God? And know that he is listening to you. Or is that he's too busy? He doesn't have time for me. He says to come. Christian liberty is service in love, not selfishness. We have to love, not be selfish with things. If we love one another, we will serve one another. We don't question. We look for those opportunities. And if we serve one another, we will not bite and devour one another in malicious talk or action. We will not put people in a negative situation. We will be supportive. We will be loving to them. We are not free to live selfishly. And contrary to everything you will hear on the news, social media, certainly. Well, you deserve this. No, you don't. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Talked about that earlier. Christians have been set free from the law. They are not under the law. And that is a big thing for many people. They cannot get past that. Is it their fault? No. When the opportunity to find that out, in many cases, they can't believe how true it is that they no longer are under the law. and they start to learn what grace is and the freedom is and what love is. And it's, but, no, there's no but. Jesus paved the way, and we are recipients of that. We go now to picking it up in verse 16, the works of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factors. They're all a part of that. Envy and drunkenness, carousing and things like these. Paul says, I am warning you, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We go to the next section, the fruit of the Spirit. And I never cease to come to this section and always remember something that was totally special and totally unique from this congregation. It was January, and I can't remember if it was 2016, 2015, 2017. I don't remember the exact year. But at a leaders' meeting, I threw out the idea of everyone giving a message about a virtue or aspect of the Spirit. Many in this room participated in that. Some are now past. Some have moved on. But we got to hear 9 different messages of the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. It's still available to go back and listen to, and I do periodically, but it's an awesome thing that each one was willing, and there was a bowl with a list of the 9 fruits, and the bowl was passed around, and it wasn't a requirement. If you didn't want to do it, pass the bowl on by. And one did. And 2 other people joined. And then this person said, no, pass it back. I do want to. And they did. And there is so much in this. So as I go through this, the fruit of the spirits, the Spirit, that's a memory that is such a positive thing, because there was freedom and there was love expressed by everyone that did that, because it was way outside their comfort zone. That I do know. But in verse 22, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you go on YouTube, there's a little song that is for kids over these particular aspects. It's a fun one to listen to if you ever want to. You can go on YouTube and Fruit of the Spirit song, and you'll enjoy it. I did. I thought about playing it, but no, timing is not right. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Paul tells us that sinful nature and the Spirit are in sharp conflict with one another. As we learn to walk in the Spirit, the sinful nature becomes increasingly subdued. As we draw closer to the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father, that negative spirit out there, which is there, becomes a little more subdued, not as present. But the sinful nature remains until our glorification. Thus, there is an ongoing conflict, warfare, really, between the sinful nature and the spirit, a conflict that is fierce and unremitting. That spirit never leaves us. It's always there, trying to trip us up, trying to get us to step away. But we don't have to listen to that spirit. But know that he's always there. The sinful nature is secret and invisible, but it works. The words and deeds in which it erupts are public and evident. And we can all see when someone listens to that side, to use the phrase, the dark side, if you will. But if we don't stay close and focused with God, with Jesus, the enemy will step in always. Always. The acts of sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. The word for immorality is normally translated fornication, also refer to any kind of unlawful sexual behavior. And people live in that every day of their life and do not think anything about it. You have unmarried people living together. You have people that, oh, it's a date. No, that's the end of the date with sex. It's a mess. That's part of that acts of sinful nature. Religion, idolatry, and witchcraft, from verse 20. Idolatry is as much a work of flesh as sexual immorality. Idolatry is just as much as active as a negative as sexual immorality. Witchcraft is secret tampering with the powers of evil. And there are people that really dive into that. In verses 20 and 21, Paul gives example of breakdown of personal relationships, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strifes, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, and envy. And then it says leisure, drunkenness, orgies, parties gone wild. Leisure is actually fine, even necessary for us. But it can become an opportunity for sin rather than healthy release. If you've been under a lot of weight, stress, and it kind of gets lifted off of you, and you go, take a deep breath, and you just rest. Well, in that rest, do we stay focused on the Holy Spirit? Many times we let down our guard. I'm tired. I can do just this one thing. It won't hurt. It'll be okay. Our guard is dropped and the enemy stepped in. Leisure needs to be a protected time as well. It's an important value that we each need. We can't go all out every day, all day. We have to have that downtime. But when we have the downtime, doesn't mean we stop responding to the Spirit. Allow the Spirit, Jesus and the Father, to join you in your leisure. Let that be the peace that you seek. Paul gives us a warning. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that, I can do just one thing, it'll be okay. Or as we hear today, I can do this one thing, I deserve it. You hear that all the time. That's one of the main things on the advertisement world is they tell you, you deserve whatever product they're selling or wanting to market. Do you really? Or maybe you do, but do you focus as that being the important part, or you focus on what God is doing in your life? Maybe he will bless you with whatever that is. But do you deserve it? I think that is alive from the enemy. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit is a cluster of 9 Christian values, graces, if you will. Love, joy, peace relate to a believer's attitude toward God. Those 3. They're kind of broken up into 3 different sections. And it talks about a Christian's first love is his love for God. That should be always our first love, our focal point. His chief joy is his joy in God, in its deepest peace, in that peace with God. If we are living in that world and we are in that peaceful time with God, you will enjoy and relish and come refreshed, ready to take on whatever next is coming in your world. Patience, kindness, goodness are social values. Patience is the long suffering towards those who aggravate or persecute. Kindness is a question of disposition, and goodness of words and deeds. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control round out the 9. They address the inner virtues. Faithfulness is commitment and consistency. Gentleness is the humble meekness which Christ exhibited. And both faithfulness and gentleness are aspects of self-control, which concludes the list. These 9 virtues appear in the lives of Spirit-led Christians. Believers are called to cooperate actively in the Spirit's sanctifying work in their lives by putting to death their sinful nature with its passions and desires. And that is what we struggle with a great deal. The rejection of evil is more than a one-time baptismal vow. It is a practical, everyday discipline. As we continuously shout a defiant no to our sinful passions and desire, every day is a new day, and every day we need to respond to Jesus, to allow him to guide us in all that we say and do. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We didn't do anything to achieve that except say yes, to be accepted by Jesus. Let us run instead to Christ. Let us follow him, taking up his yoke. Other places in Scripture, his yoke is light. His yoke is easy. But taking up his yoke and experiencing and expressing his way, his freedom, not ours. Let us walk in step with the Spirit. Seek to hear what you're being directed. You won't hear an audible voice, but you will be directed. Respond to that direction. Love your neighbor. Live free, because Jesus has given that freedom to us. You join me in prayer. Father God, as we've talked about the little bits and pieces of what this book covers, but to know that you love us, that Jesus has made us a way for the freedom to be with him, to be with you, as the Spirit moves in our lives. God, there is so much going on in our everyday life, even when we sit down maybe to take a break, to have just 10 minutes of leisure time, of just taking a deep breath. God, join us in that time. Join us in that leisure. Join us as we respond to you, as you strengthen us to move forward in loving our neighbor, in the freedom that is given us. God, we just praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. As we come now to the communion portion of today's message, today's service, And it's something we do weekly, but it is one of the most precious, special things that we get to participate with. This meal was given to us by Jesus Christ. His broken body, his shed blood, all from him. We need to think about the blessing of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from Luke 22, 14 through 20. And again, they're in the upper room. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, much like the chalice that is back on this closest corner to me, because at that time they would pass the cup and each would take a drink. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." The imagery of that is absolutely huge. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." For he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "The cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Jesus Christ in our lives, leading us, loving us, directing us. It's a freedom that he has given us. We don't have the weight of the law. We don't have all of the restrictions that the law had. We are free to love one another and to live in that special place. So as we come to the table, think of the freedom and love that Jesus poured out for each one of us. And join me in prayer. Again, Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we come to you with this communion meal, asking for your blessing upon the elements. God, that you would be with each one of us as we look to and focus on freedom that Jesus has done for us, and that we can truly love others, our neighbors, as you love, as you care for. And God, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you are led.
Let's close our service in prayer. Our great God, thank you for guiding our service today. May you always be guiding us in everything that we do so that we can be examples of what your freedom is like. Protect us and be with us in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And my benediction is Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.